anything else on anybody's heart. Amen. If not, if you've got your Bibles open and turn to Luke chapter number 19, I'd invite you to stand for the reading and for the reverence of God's holy word. Chapter 19 of the book of Luke, in verse 1, the Bible says, "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up in a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place and looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be with guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusations, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house. For so much as he also is the son of Abraham, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost." I'm going to ask Brother Dwayne if he would pray for us. It doesn't go through much scripture here to tell us much about the life of Zacchaeus. But as God gives us liberty today, this morning, I want to preach a message, the untold story of Zacchaeus. The untold story of Zacchaeus. And the Bible says here again in verse number 1, "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus." I can't help but to think about the life of Zacchaeus. What about his family? And what about his friends? What about the church he may have attended to? What about the job that he has? What about his marriage? Or what about his children? Was there any trouble or problems in Zacchaeus's life? We can't help but to think about the life that Zacchaeus lived. There's a lot of things that the Word of God does not tell us. Amen. The Bible tells us just the life of Jesus, that all the world, the whole world that we see here, if the oceans were the ink and the whole ground was the paper to be wrote on, that this world could not obtain all the information about Jesus Christ. But we see here in the Word of God, there was a man by the name of Zacchaeus. But I can't help but to think about, was there any problems in Zacchaeus's life? Amen. I'm here to tell you today, if you didn't already know, that each and every one of us go through troubles and have problems in our life. Amen. There's not a person in this world that has never went through trouble. Amen. Each and every one of us go through something in our lives. Amen. We go through trials and tribulations, just like little Peyton. Amen. I say little because he might be a young man, but he's little. Amen. Little Peyton, he's went through some troubles and problems in his life. Amen. He may not have been raised in a family that knew who Jesus Christ was. I can't help but to think about little Zacchaeus. He may not have been raised in a family that knew about Jesus Christ. Amen. But there's a little trouble and a little trials in each and every one of us, his life. Think about the life of Zacchaeus. What are some of the troubles that he may have been going through? We already know by the job that he had that he was not well liked in the community. Amen. We can't help but to think about, as the untold story of Zacchaeus, what about his marriage and what about his children? Was there any trouble at home? And I ask you today, what if some of your problems or troubles or trials or tribulations that may be going on in your home? But we see here, this is not the point or the matter of the story, the trouble or the problems of Zacchaeus' life. You know, and also yours too. It is not the problem or the trouble or the trial or the tribulation that is in your life. But what is and what means the most is what you do with that trouble or that problem or that trial or that tribulation. It does not matter what it is, but what matters is how you deal with it. We see here in the story of Zacchaeus, we don't know what trouble he had. We don't know what was going on in his life. But one thing we do know is who he was and where he was at. I can't help but to think about Job. You know, God allowed Job to go through some trouble, through some problems in his life. But we see what means the most in the story of Job is what he done with the problem. We're going to see here in the life of Zacchaeus, it wasn't the trouble that he was in or the problem that he had, but it was that what he done with that trouble or with that problem. What Job done with his problem and his trouble is what mattered in Job's life. It was not what he was going through. It was a tragedy that everything that he had, he lost. His family, except for his wife, was gone. All of his children had died. But we see in the life of Job, it did not matter what he went through, but what he did with that trouble. As the same with the life of Zacchaeus, we see here what he done with that trouble and that problem. The Bible says again, and Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. I want to tell you today that there's a reason behind everything that Jesus does. I want to tell you that there's a reason behind everything that you go through in your life. Amen. God has a plan. The Bible says in verse number 2, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was chief among the publicans, and he was rich. Right here in the scripture, Zacchaeus is just like you and I. Amen. We are just like Zacchaeus right here. We may not have been a publican, but right here the Bible tells us that he was rich. That's just like us before we got saved. We think this world, before we get saved, we think this world holds all the keys, all the answers to everything. Amen. But I want to tell you, this world don't hold anything. This world couldn't even hold the Son of God, amen. This world could not obtain him, amen. But what this world's got is what it wants to do to suck you into it, to keep you away from him. I want you to see here in the Word of God, verse number 3, and the Bible says, and he sought to see Jesus. He sought to see Jesus. We've got one more service in the month of January. As we've been saying this whole month, that we're going to prepare ourselves to dedicate our lives in the month of February to show Jesus Christ just how much we love him. We've got one more service. And I got to ask you this morning, have you sought Jesus to see who he was? If I say anything during this service that may offend anybody, I say it because I love you. Because I want to see you give God the glory in your life. And you cannot give God the glory in your life if you're not in the place where you can give God the glory in your life. I do not say anything out of anger. I do not say anything to hurt anyone. I do it and say it because I love you. And I want to see you have a life, as the Bible says, and have it more abundantly. Because that's what we're supposed to do. We're not supposed to put each other down. We're supposed to lift each other up. We're supposed to get each other in a place where God can use us and mold us just like that clay in the potter's hands. Amen. I want to be that clay in the potter's hands. I want God to put a little water on me. I want God to keep molding me and using me for His goodness and His glory. Zacchaeus said he sought to see Jesus for who He was. I love you today, and I tell you the truth because it's the Word of God. And you know, sometimes God's Word hurts us. It hurts our feelings. It steps on our toes when it was aiming for our heart, amen. I tell you what, it's the truth, nothing but the truth, so help Him God, amen. Tell you today because I love you, because I want you to have life and have it more abundantly. The Bible says, and he sought to see Jesus. I'm going to ask you a lot of questions today. I'm going to ask you a few questions, and I want you to answer them within your heart. And the first one I want to ask you is, as we see the untold story of Zacchaeus, we don't know what was going on in his life, but we do know this, that he sought to see Jesus. I got to ask you today, how bad are you willing to see Jesus? I'm not talking about to leave this earth, die, and go to heaven. That's not what I'm talking about. I tell you what, if you've ever been with God on this side of eternity, there's nothing sweeter. There's nothing that you can do in your life besides lead somebody to the Lord that is to be with the Lord in prayer or in fellowship or in worship. I tell you what, when you meet Jesus, amen, and the glories of heaven open up, and I tell you what, you just get, Holy Spirit just quenches you with Him, amen. How bad are you willing to see Jesus? How bad are you willing? How much are you willing to see Jesus Christ and worship Him? I tell you what, I don't know why you come to church today, but I can tell you why I come to church. I love you, and y'all are beautiful people, but it wasn't to see y'all. Hey man, I came to worship Him. I came to meet Him. I came to see Him, amen. Just like Zacchaeus, the Bible says in verse 3 that he sought to see Jesus and who He was, amen. I thank God today that I know who He is. He is the Son of God. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lamb of God, and He's the Savior of this world. I know who He is, and I have Him, but I still want to see Him. I feel a little like Zacchaeus this morning. What are you willing to do to see Jesus? What are you willing to give up in your life to see Him? Again, I don't know the life of Zacchaeus. I can tell you very, very little things on Zacchaeus. But I do know this, that he needed a Savior just like you and I did. Just like you and I do. Now I say this to everyone lost and saved. For those that are lost, just like we all were at some point in our time, in our life, we need Jesus. That's the most important thing that you need in your life if you're lost, is Jesus Christ. But as a saved person, you can get away from God. You can get a hard heart. I mean, could you imagine Job's wife? She had a hard heart towards God. She told Job just to curse God and die. Job wouldn't do it. Can you imagine going through your life with a hard heart and not allowing God to do a work in your life like He wants to do? First, you got to see Him. Zacchaeus knew He was coming. You came to church today just like Zacchaeus was in that little area there. He knew that Jesus was going to pass by. You too came to church today. You may have not have thought it, but you knew it. You knew Jesus might be there. Amen. I can't help but to think that Zacchaeus knew that Jesus was going to be there. But the Bible says that he sought Jesus to see who he was. He sought to see him. What are you willing to give up to see Jesus? What are you willing to have life, as the Bible says, and to have it more abundantly? Did you know if Jesus Christ is not the center of your home, is not the center of your heart, and not the center of your life, then you don't have life, and you don't have it more abundantly. There is nothing more important in this world than Jesus Christ being the center of you. Amen. I say that because it's true and because I love you. To have life and to have it more abundantly is to have more of Jesus Christ. I can't help but to think about that song and his life for mine. You know, Jesus Christ did not have to do what he did, but he did it anyway. He gave his life up for me. He gave his home in heaven. I mean, he gave everything up for you and for I, so you and I might have life and have it more abundantly. Let me tell you what the abundance of God is. I'll tell you what it's not, amen. It's not the things of this world. It's not the riches of this world. Zacchaeus was rich, amen. He had all the wealth that he wanted. But what did he tell Jesus? He said, I'll give a fourth of it to the poor, amen. And he said, if I've taken anything from anybody, half of it to the poor. If I've taken anything from anybody, he said, I'll give it back to him fourfold. He knew right then, because he saw Jesus, and he knew what Jesus could do. He knew the riches of this world didn't matter to him. He knew he didn't need to have the wealth of this world. All he needed was Jesus. Amen. But first you got to see him. First you got to see him. What's most important in your life? I've been here, my family and I have been here 7 or 8 months. And there's people that I've never seen sitting here today that's been in this altar. And Brother Bill hit it hard this morning in my heart. He didn't tell y'all much, but he said, it happens right here. It happens right here. This is where it starts. If you want to have life and have it more abundantly, it's at an old-fashioned altar, amen. I know that you can pray right where you're at, amen. But it's humbling to humble yourself, to have the humility, amen, in your heart to know that I got to go to the altar and I got to ask God for help, amen. Right here's where it starts. In the 7 or 8 months that we've been here, there's people sitting here today that I've not seen in Sunday school class. How do you expect your children to grow in the Word of God? How do you expect your children to be saved when you don't bring them to the class? There are some people here today that I've never seen in Wednesday night service. How do you expect your family to grow in the Word of God and get close to God, get close to His Word, amen, when you won't give Him the time of day? What are you willing to go through in your life for God to get you where He wants you? I mean, Job had 10 children. And God took them every one away because he needed him in a place where God could use him. He took all of his riches, took his cattle, his livestock, his home, his barns, and he was left with nothing but his wife so God could use him.
And it was all for three friends. For three friends. For three friends. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was. But he could not for the press because he was little of stature. I don't know about you today, but there's sometimes I can't see Jesus because of the little statures that are in my way, because of the things in this world that's got me blinded in my eyes, and I can't see Jesus and see who he is. How are we supposed to go into February to show Jesus Christ how much we love him when we're not willing to give him the time of day or the time of a day? Amen. Verse number 4, the Bible says, and he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass by that day. I had no intentions when I woke up this morning to preach in this message, but over the night, I know God burdened my heart with it, because I woke up this morning, all I could think about was Zacchaeus. All I could think about was Zacchaeus leaving the ground that he was standing on. You know what that ground to Zacchaeus was? That ground was what had him bound to this world. The Bible says that he climbed up in the sycamore tree. You know what that means? That he had to take his feet off the soil, off the earth, off the ground that he was standing on. I tell you what, there's people here today that this world has got them bound like they were standing in quicksand. Amen. And they can't move. If they were standing beside the tree that Jesus was in, they wouldn't be able to reach up to the first limb to climb the tree because of the way their life is and the things that they've got categorized in their life. And Jesus Christ is down here, and all this other stuff in the world is up here. The Bible says that he climbed up in the sycamore tree. Like I said, if you're saved here today, you can't harden your heart or have your heart hardened so bad that you don't want to see Jesus. But I tell you what, you let go of the ground and climb the sycamore tree this morning. You let go of the ground and climb that sycamore tree all the way up here to this altar. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Amen. There's nobody in this church. I don't know why it's so hard for people not to come to the altar when God's pounding on their chest, pounding in their heart to move and to do something. Amen. And the altar calls given, and the altar is empty. Zacchaeus let go of the ground. He let go of his pride. Pride of the preaching of the Word of God. It's not me. There's not a person in here when UPS or FedEx pulls up in their driveway, they run outside and start cussing the driver. No, there's not a person in here. You're excited to hear, see what you got. Even though the mail person may bring you a bill in the mail, power bill. I mean, I tell you what, the power company's still getting richer and richer every day. Because every single one of us live in a home that takes power, amen? You don't run out there and slap the mail person, do you? I ask you today not to get mad at me. I'm just a delivery person. I'm just giving you the Word of God. As God laid it on my heart. And he said, preach to them. Give it to them because that's what they need. Somebody here today needs to hear how important the altar is. I wanted to preach a message on the 12 stones that brought in from each tribe. They built altars everywhere they went. Do you not think God's got an importance on altars? Of course he does. And how little we use them today. Because we don't want to get right with God. Because we don't want to do what his word says. But when this ground's got you bound like quicksand, you can't climb the sycamore tree. But Zacchaeus, something was wrong in his life. Yeah. Not in a bad way either, amen? He had a problem. There was some trouble somewhere because he came to see Jesus. And he knew he couldn't get to him for the press of this world. So he, can you imagine Zacchaeus standing there? I can't help but to think Zacchaeus probably wasn't about this tall. About 4 foot was about it. Tall as Landon or Tanner. And he looked up in that tree. I bet that limb was, that first limb was right there. I bet he stepped back and he took a little run and go and he grabbed up and grabbed a hold of that limb. I bet God put him the rest of the way up in that tree to see Jesus for the press. Do you know why? Because Zacchaeus had a desire in his heart to change his life. I'm going to be honest with you today. Everything that I've just said won't make a hill of beans to you if you don't have a desire in your heart to change for God. It won't mean a hill of beans to you to come to Sunday school if you don't have a desire in your heart to want to learn and get closer to the Word of God. It won't matter a hill of beans to you if you don't come to Wednesday night if your heart's not in the right place. And he ran before and climbed up into the sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass by. If you've never been saved today, I want to tell you this. Let go of the things that ground you to this world. Just let go of them. Just let go of them. Say, all right, God, I'm giving them to you. Because no matter what you try to hold on to, no matter what you try to finish before you let go and let God have His way in your life, you'll never step out to be saved. Just let go. I'm telling you, it's that simple. Just as salvation is that simple. Just say, okay, God, here I am. There was some unfinished business that I had. There were some things that I wanted to take care of. But you know what, God? I don't care because you're going to take care of them for me. It's that simple. It's that simple today. I want us to skip on down in the scripture here. Verse number 5, and he says, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, for today I must abide in thy house. Listen to me very carefully today, church. Jesus is here today. You know why? Because I've prayed and prayed and those other people been praying that Jesus would show up here today. I'm telling you, it's not the musical emotions, but when you feel Jesus Christ in your heart, I mean, how could you stand there face to face and look at a man that died for you without shedding a tear in your eye? I can't do it. I mean, I'm that emotional because I know he's that close to me, amen. I'm not wanting you to cry because Mickey said to cry. I want you to cry because Jesus jerked on your heart and said, look what I've done for you. Jesus is here today, and he's calling to your heart, and he wants you to surrender your heart to him. He wants you to give it up. He just wants you to give it up and say, all right, God, here I am. I surrender. No more chains, no more shackles, no more ground that I'm bound to. Here I am. Help me. He will. And you know the amazing thing about it? He still allows us to do the fun stuff. I mean, woo! He's a glorious God, amen. I tell you what, he lets me go fishing, Brother Bill. Amen. He lets me go to some basketball games and some football games, amen. He lets me go to the movies with a beautiful wife, amen. He lets us all go bowling when we want to, amen. On Sunday after church, let the pastor whoop everybody. Amen. What was that? He lets us. He gives us the ability to do it. He gives us the desire to do it. But when we put him first and foremost and gives us life and gives it more abundantly, he lets us do those things that we love to do with our friends and our family. But guess what? If we don't put him first, those things he starts taking from us. He starts taking this and taking that. Why? Because he hates us? No. Because he loves us. And he wants us to be in a place where we surrender to him. I don't know about you, but I'm excited about February. I'm excited about February. You know, I want to surrender wholeheartedly to God in February. to Jesus Christ and show him how much I love him. He gave us the Great Commission. He said, go, go, go. But if we don't see him first, how are we going to go to him? If we don't have a heart for him first, how are we going to go to him? Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus didn't let the devil convince him that he didn't need the altar, that he didn't need Sunday school. But that's what the devil's going to do to us. He's going to convince us we don't need these things. We don't need an old-fashioned altar. We don't need a Sunday school class. We don't need church on Wednesday night. We don't need these things in our life. You know why? Because we're better off without him. Zacchaeus said, no, I'm not better off without him. I want him. I want my life. And I want to have life more abundantly. Zacchaeus climbed the tree. You know how the song goes. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He climbed up in the sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. Not the world. The Lord. We can learn a lesson from a little man named Zacchaeus. When we put the world in its place and put God in our hearts and serve him, he's going to be true to us. I don't care how old or how young you are. You're never too old to be right with Jesus. We need more Jesus and more love of him and less of this world. You and I need the things that mean the most to Jesus. Love, faithfulness, prayer, the Holy Spirit. Let go of these things that keep you from reaching Jesus Christ for you, your family, and your life. We got to let go of this world. The very one that died for us is the one that wants us to be close to him. I'm going to read you this verse and we'll be through. Verse number 9, the Bible says, and Jesus said unto him, this day. I tell you, this day, don't put it off. This day is the day for you and I to get close to him. Don't put it off. He told Zacchaeus, Jesus Christ did. The words out of his mouth was this day. Not tomorrow. You put it off, you'll never do it. He said, this day, salvation come to this house. Amen. When the ladies got up and started singing, and the Lord started knocking on my heart, I could hear salvation ringing in this house. Not just salvation for the lost, but salvation for the saved. That renewing of the Spirit. Amen. God wants to renew that spirit in every single one of us. He wants you to have life and have it more abundantly. And the only way for you and I to do that is to have more of Jesus Christ. This day is salvation come. Not tomorrow, but today. Salvation for the lost. Salvation for the saved. For the lost in this world that we have no time for God. Well, guess what? God's going to make time. For the lost in this world and the things that keep them from God, guess what? He'll take those things away from you. Lost in this world in the days where God's not important. Well, let me tell you how important he is. In verse number 10, he says this, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. The prodigal son got lost one day, but he knew the way back home. The prodigal son stepped out on God, stepped out on his father. But guess what? His father met him with open arms, ran to him, hugged his neck, and kissed him. That's exactly what he'll do to you today. He loves you that much, and he wants you. He wants you to want him in his life. I don't know what else I could tell you today. I don't know what else I could say to you today except let go, and let God have His way. It's that simple. Take a look at yourself. Step out of the picture. Say, wow, is that what I look like? Well, if you're not in the picture, how do you know what you look like? But if you're in the picture, and God's in the picture, look how much better life would be. You may not think so, but I promise you, you'll have life and have it more abundantly. I'm going to ask Miss Connie, if she would, to come to the piano. Jesus has come to seek and to save that which is lost. The prodigal son never said that he needed to be saved again. Salvation is for once and all. For one time, one deal. You don't have to do it over and over again. But I will say this. We can step out on God just like the prodigal son stepped out on his father. But God wants us to get back to it. Amen. Let us stand. As Miss Connie plays, every head bowed and every eye closed.